with this time, I'm going to just recap some of the ideas from the talk. So it's going to be kind of blah, blah, blah stuff. So you can meditate already if you want, but I'm just going to keep talking about stuff. And then we'll kind of practice it together, kind of meditate in it together. So there's going to be these two parts. So don't feel you have to meditate all the way through, whatever meditate means for you in that regard. And even before that blah, blah, blah stuff, I'm going to just make a couple of announcements of things for your attention. So the first one is related to one-to-one meetings or interviews, as they might be called. So we're going to offer more of those today. We're going to have the next group meetings tomorrow. So there's more this chance for kind of exploring our practice together in one-to-one conversations. So we thought it might be helpful if I just share a little bit, like, what are they for? And also, what are they not for? Yeah, so really about our practice here, things that are relevant to us in our practice here and now, right? Not so much kind of theoretical things, not so much about, you know, how am I going to keep this going in my daily life? Like, let's actually really concentrate on how do I actually get this happening in the more refined conditions of retreat and indoor and all of that. Of course, that will include experiences from outside, from the past or whatever, that are impacting you now and affecting your ability to practice with what's going on. Yeah. But not so much like, well, but what if, you know, and that, you know, and then what if that happens? But more like, this is what is happening and how do I practice with that? Or I'm trying to practice with this and my mind keeps going to that. Yeah. Can you share about that? Or just actually sharing about that is also really helpful. Yeah, just having a place where we can talk about that a little bit, normalize it a little bit and see it for what it is. Right. Which interesting, that's also kind of the practice today, is actually recognizing the experience we're having and recognizing we have things that we can do about that. So, yes, Zara and I are on the same wavelength, but she was one step ahead. So also, some of you have written us notes saying, could you have a meeting? And we've written you a note back, and you haven't picked it up. And that's not fair. You know, you have to come back and pick up your note. So do check the notice board and see if there's a note to you about that, especially before signing up for an interview, if you've also asked for us for one by note. Yeah. Otherwise you'll end up with two. And we're trying to kind of limit that happening. So if you've written to us, we've written back to you almost certainly, if it's a relevant thing that needs a response. So do check for replies. Great. Is that okay? Okay. So I want to continue from what I was talking about last night. And I just want to kind of set it in the right framing. So noticing there is a hindrance present for us. We'll come on again to this kind of word hindrance, not the best word for it, but that's the word that gets used. So that's what we're going to do. So just noticing, you know, I'm pushing experience away. I'm pulling experience towards me. I'm a little bit too much energy, a little bit too little energy. It's like noticing that at times. Yeah. So this is what we might call an insight practice. It's got a bit of a wisdom practice about it. It's like, there must be a hindrance here and I'm not noticing it. Like, what is it? What's actually going on? And I'm getting tuned into that on a kind of a subtler level. And then it's opening up possibilities of different things I can do. All of the insight practices actually need quite a lot of calm, quite a lot of steadiness of attention, quite a lot of ease in the being. Okay, and that's why we typically start off the retreats with more instructions about grounding, about, you know, breathing deeply, about resting into the present experience, about cultivating the conditions for more ease, for more well-being, all of that. Because then it's more easy to like just drop in. It's like, and what's happening here? Right. So we want to keep cultivating that ease, that well-being, sustaining our attention in those ways. So those who like really clear instructions, 90% of the time do that, do calming, gathering, easing, well-being in that, right? And then just one moment in 10, oh yeah, what's going on? What could I change here? What could I do here? So we're not interfering continuously, and then we're getting more and more of that deepening, opening well-being. What we should notice is it is really delightful actually to penetrate into experience and open it out in new ways. That will also generate, create, you know, calmness, what we call samatha, collectedness, gathering into a kind of a deeper well-being, more harmonious, more well-being, what's also called samadhi. So I spoke yesterday about the four right exertions. Can be a little bit kind of complicated idea, but basically there are these two types of experience we can be having. A wholesome, skillful type of experience. It feels good. It's leading to good. It's beneficial for us, for others, for the world. Okay, we can have those kinds of experiences. We can also have unwholesome, unskillful, you know, agitated, irritating, dukkha types of experiences. And we need to have different responses to both of those happening. Yeah. If we just have a one blanket policy, whatever's happening is happening, it's fine with me, then we're kind of not practicing this path. Might be a different path, might be great to do. But here we're like, hey, this is good. It's beautiful, it's wholesome, it's helpful, it's beneficial. Let's do more of it. Let's stay with it, let's deepen it, let's expand it, you know, all of that, make good use of that. So if you find yourself having a nice experience, have more of it, get into it, enjoy it, let yourself be touched by the beauty of that, sustain the attention there, find the subtlest thing there to attend to, the pleasantness of that, let it expand, let it stay with it, enjoy it, all of that. Great, you've been gifted something really beautiful, use your gifts in relationship to that to enjoy it even more. Some of the time though, it won't be like that. Yeah, some of the time we will be relating to things in unskillful, unwholesome ways. We'll be having an agitated experience, things like that. In those circumstances, do something about it. Change something about it, right? Not reject it more, but actually maybe meet it with kindness. And we'll talk more about the antidotes and things that we can do. Some way of easing out of that experience. Right? It's a conditioned experience. It depends on conditions, and we can change those conditions. Right? Spoke before about all experience is conditioned by what we pay attention to and how we pay attention to it. And this experience is the same. What we pay attention to and how we pay attention to it builds the experience. Actually builds the whole of your life, what you pay attention to and how you pay attention to it. Can't have an experience without that. Right? If you're not paying attention to it, it's not happening for you. Right? If you're not paying attention to it in a certain way, it doesn't happen that way for you. And so we can change these things. They don't have independent existence. So this wholesome, beneficial and unwholesome, unskillful. What do they mean? They mean freeing. Or not freeing, yeah. Freedom or not freedom. And you play a part. You can incline in different ways. So we're going to use the hindrances as this framework. And the reasons why are probably quite obvious, because they are the top five ways that dukkha appears in your life. Yeah, just the top five most common ways that dukkha appears in your life. So we'll start with them rather than with the bottom five least likely ways that dukkha appears in your life. Yeah, we go for the top ones, deal with those. The greediness, right? The aversiveness, the restlessness and worry, the dullness, lack of interest, boredom side of experience, and the doubt, the lack of confidence in ourselves to meet this experience well. So as I said, hindrances, not really a word I would have chosen if we're starting from scratch, but that's the one that we have. That's typically what's used. Things that hinder, get in the way of. But really, they're just habitual visitors. Yeah, they're just ways of typically relating to experience. You see something pleasant, you feel a sense of, I'm going to get that. You've sensed something unpleasant, you can have a feeling, I'm going to get rid of that or get away from it. It's just very natural. That's a natural way to experience life. But there are also invitations or doorways or opportunities to awaken. Right? Because there's stuff we can do there. There's good ingredients there. There's a lot of energy there, or there's not a lot of energy there. It's like, okay, I can play with that. I can work with that. Yeah. It's like a collaboration. You could do that with art, with music, something. Oh, there's something here. Okay, I'll play that bit over there. Yeah. Or I'll draw that around that. Or kind of like we play our part, we participate. And typically what we participate with are things that resolve those things, right? So we have a train of thought, it's going into this kind of greedy direction. Is that great? Great. There's a lot of passion, there's a lot of desire, there's a lot of energy for this. What should we do? Should we let it go? Should we give it to others and practice the generosity? And those are both paramis, that giving it away, giving away what we've evaluated is precious, it's worth getting passionate about. Oh, I'll give that away if it's that good. And then I can really maximize the happiness, right? Maximize the freedom. Give something that's precious. Or I practice letting go of that. I don't need more of that. Let go of that. Release. In those ways, what we're doing, if you think of this, we had these kind of four quadrants, matrix, up, down, left, right kind of idea. What are we doing? Is we're returning to the still point in the center. Is I'm pulling. Oh, no, I'm not going to pull. I'm going to give it away. And where do we sink to? We sink to a more free space, like that still point within all of this agitation, reactivity. Yeah? Does that make sense? Yeah? So this line is the line of reactivity demands. Yeah? The greediness, the aversiveness, reactivity demands. I don't want you. I want more of you. I want more of this. I want things to be otherwise. Yeah? That kind of demanding. Come down to a place of like, oh, it's like this. Oh, okay. I can work with that. Yeah, be skillful with that. At times, other approaches will be necessary in our life, right? But as a practice, to see what happens if that, hey, not going to demand on that way. This line, well, maybe let's just finish with aversiveness. So aversiveness, I've got this kind of agitation, disturbance going on. I want to get rid of this. Don't want it to be here. What would happen if actually I allow it to appear in consciousness? Let's allow that to be here. Cultivate calm, steadiness, softness in relationship to that. Now, how does that feel for me? Now, it may turn out, as I say, you know, later on in certain circumstances in life, no, we need to act on these things. But as a practice now, what's it like to return to that still point, see it from there? What's it like to bring more metta into that experience, more compassion into that experience? Okay, so that's that kind of up-down reactivity demand kind of pole, and we can come to a place of non-reactivity or of kindness or softness in a way. This line that goes off into, well, we had it here, restlessness, agitation, which is too much energy for the space, or over this side, dullness, sluggishness, lethargy, tiredness, all of that. Too little energy for the space. It's actually a energy space ratio. Yeah, like there's something going on in that ratio between energy and space that's not quite there. It's not harmonized. The name that I give for a harmonized energy space feeling is vibrant tranquility. And some of you will know that as an experience. Use your own words, just trust in your own experience. That feeling where there's a good amount of energy, there's a good amount of space. I actually feel, that's nice. Yeah. It's an experience that's found in contentment. Yeah, when you're in nature or you're with friends and you just feel like, I don't want anything else. It's cool. This is nice. It's a feeling of love. Yeah, it's a feeling of beauty. Yeah, that vibrant tranquility. Now, it turns out it's not, you know, only reserved for those moments where all the ingredients of life are in the right formula and then it goes again. It's something that we can play a part in. So if there's too much energy for the space, what does that say about the space? More space. We need more space. So we play our part. It's like, okay, can I find any space anywhere? Right? There's loads of space everywhere. Right? There's always space behind you. That's the first place I look. Our sense doors seem to point forwards, right? Typically, most of them. And so we tend to think about the space here. When you're imagining your breath, and yes, all breaths are imagined, but we don't need to worry about that. When you're imagining your breath, sometimes you're imagining it in front of you. Yeah, do you ever get that? And it's helpful just to lean back and get that breath back in the body, right? Because the sense doors point forwards, they tend to project forwards. Remember the space behind you. Always more of that space if you need it. Space above you. There's also actually loads of space inside your body, like unrecognized, unoccupied space. If you want to explore it, you ever need it, and you can't get to the space behind you, there's a trap door beneath the bottom of the belly that actually opens into vast infinite space. You can always pop down there. It's like a little basement. You can go down there. It has no bottom. It goes beyond your bottom. It has no bottom. There's no end to the endless space down there. But that's a side point, right? But there is always more space available to us in any circumstance, any situation. And what does that do? It brings us more towards that still point, that vibrant tranquility. Yeah, we're balancing the energy to the space. Sometimes we're at the other end of the experience. There's too little energy, too little interest. Can't get curious about it. Boredom, right? This boredom experience. This is boring. I know no one here has had that experience these last few days because they always find life interesting. But occasionally we'll think, oh, not another breath, not another sound, you know, not another sensation. I'm done with this. Yeah. And that feeling of boredom happens. But boredom is simply very little energy, too much space, and not enough curiosity. Boredom turns up and says, nothing here, nothing here. Don't hang around here. You will not like it. Yeah, like tries to define us, tries to tell us the story about who we are. Like, you can't handle this. There's nothing here for you. Get interested. Where is boredom? What does it really feel like? Is it moving? Is it still? It's more subtle, which means the attention needs to get more subtle. There. Yeah, so bring curiosity into that experience and it will open up. Right? Because that's what it's missing. It's missing the interest, the curiosity, and then brings us to that still point again. Interest plus boredom. Is beautiful, peaceful, calm. Yeah. Boredom is the absence of things. Absence of things is nice also when there's interest, when there's curiosity, when there's engagement with that, when there's love, when there's tenderness, when there's interest, curiosity, all that. Yeah. The other thing that we can do is actually let's generate some energy. And we actually generate the energy by pushing out the space. Yeah. So we had that image, like we've been somehow, a balloon has deflated with us inside. Oh dear. No, not a problem. Just push it out. Just keep it expanded with your attention. Like the balloon is made only of attention. Just like keep that out. A little bit of space, a hand's width around you. You'll start to feel, creates energy. Yeah, perpetual energy, motion, machine, thing that we can do there. And all of this deals with the fifth of those hindrances, that lack of confidence. Right? Now got a clear map, like what to do. Where am I on this? Oh, I'm up here, over there. Find my place. That's how it is. What should we do? How should we relate? And that we're building up that confidence. There's always something I can do. If I think there's not something I can do, try anything. Just try anything. Right? Even if you feel like, well, I would know what to do if I was there. And over here, I don't know what to do. But do what you would do over there. Just see. Do anything, and you will change everything. Yeah, change anything, you change everything. It doesn't have its own way of being. Making a contribution is probably the most important thing. But remembering, if it's going well, keep it going. Just keep going with it. Right? We don't need to look for problems. We don't need to trouble, right? It's like, okay, it's going nice. I'm enjoying it. Keep going with that. That can be the whole of the path there. Maybe just a quick word about thinking. Thinking can happen at any time, and it probably doesn't happen for you anymore, but some of us like still get these thoughts. They just turn up and they feel really personal, and I take them really personal, and I tend to speak about them in a really personal way. I'm thinking, you know, I've been thinking. Zara's mother likes to come out at dawn from her room. I've been thinking. He said, well done. It's good. Thinking's good. But just don't think it's me thinking. So in the Dharma, there's this lovely sutta called the two sorts of thinking. And we'll come on to the two sorts in a moment. But the first point is thoughts occur. The thought occurs. Now you don't need to take it personally, but yes, this thought has occurred. It's an object in attention. And it's not something we own. You didn't plan to think this thought. Yeah. You didn't plan to have this mood. You didn't plan all of this in advance. But this is what's come. This thought has arisen in the mind. The thought has occurred. But all thoughts are only of two sorts. There's freedom thoughts, thoughts of well-being, thoughts of generosity, thoughts of compassion. Yeah, all of these good thoughts to have. And then there are thoughts of greed, thoughts of aversion, thoughts of harmfulness. Not freeing thoughts. The first step is, it's a thought. A thought has occurred. A thought has occurred. What is it? And then the second question is, where's it going? Because all thoughts have a direction. Where's it going? Is this going towards freedom? And unless we're really sure it's going towards freedom, let's just not carry on thinking it. Right? It takes effort. But that's what's called that right exertion, that right effort. I have a thought, it's heading towards Dukaville. It's got a ticket to Dukaville. It's on its way. It's got its bags. It's waiting, and it's saying, I'm not coming with you. You go on your own, right? I'm going to the still point. I'm going to let that go. Yeah. You don't have to join it. It's not yours. The thought occurs. It has a direction. And then we choose. Do I want to go there with it? Yeah. Or do I want to make the effort to cultivate freedom? Yeah. Meditation is a cultivation. It's like agriculture. We're planting seeds, we're cultivating qualities. What we pay attention to and how we pay attention to it. So if you notice there's a negativity bias in the mind, they tend to come with that as the default setting. Like pay attention to what's not okay. Pay attention in ways that actually create more disturbance. And we say, okay, I'm going to change that. I'm going to change what I attend to. I'm going to change how I attend to it. It's all part of freedom. Yeah. Cultivating freedom. Change the object. Change the attitude. Okay, so hopefully that all makes sense again. Kind of somewhat of a review. And we'll bring it in as a practice together. So if you need a little stretch to move the body, and then we'll have about half an hour of practice with this. So probably at this time we've got three main areas for generating samadhi, samatha, calm, gathered well-being. There's with the breath, body energy, that kind of mode. So we could use that to start off with. For some of us, breath, the body doesn't feel like the right place. Maybe we're working with the sounds, quite spacious, quite intimate, listening to sounds arising in the environment. So if that's more the thing, you feel free to do that one. And there's also the possibility of doing some metta practice, whatever that means, however you relate to that, as a way of bringing in more kindness in the attitude. So we'll just take 5 minutes or so, aligning into the posture, softening the attention, releasing the tension in the body, in the being. And we just attend to experience in the best way we feel is possible right now. Softening face, softening the belly, letting the heart space feel a little bit more open. Having a sense of within, spacious, relaxed attitude, sense of intimacy, sensitivity, wishing to get to know what's here. Feeling what's needed to calm, to open to this experience a little bit more. adjusting the listening, adjusting the breathing. With a sense of practicing in slow motion. Just notice where we are. We don't rush to get anywhere else. It's like this right now. And remember, if it's wholesome, if it's skillful, just continue. Continue with this. If it's not wholesome and skillful, but we can just step there immediately. Soften, come to the breath, open the attention, bring in the kindness. Let me just do that. Whatever thoughts or feelings are flowing through, you can just continue to breathe, continue to listen as they pass through, arising, passing. our practice, we can recognize what a big difference small changes can make. So it can feel at times maybe we can't change what we pay attention to, but we can make small changes in the way that we bring attention. More kindness to ourselves or to others or to things themselves. Other times we can change what we pay attention to. Giving time to this experience, practice in slow motion, become familiar. Practice the honesty, the humility, it's like this right now. Within that, tuning into the energetic resonance for us in experience. How it feels in terms of energy to space. Are we having too little energy towards falling asleep, feeling bored, too much, restless, worried, agitated. And start at the end of the spectrum with more tiredness, sleepiness. Play with the breath a little bit, maybe more emphasis on the in-breaths for the next three breaths. Letting the out-breaths happen by themselves. If there's more time, energy, interest, feeling those in-breaths brightening, opening the cells of the body. For the next three breaths, just breathing normally, feeling that energy spreading through the whole of the body. Do this again, the next three in-breaths. Get a sense of the breath filling up from the bottom upwards, an upward moving filling of breath energy. Bright up to the top of the head, maybe opening out the space a little bit. If that's increased or aligned, the posture, keeping that size, just breathing normally within this, letting the energy spread around the whole of the body. From here, we can take that image, like inside this balloon of attention. It's kind of often quite narrow, sometimes shrinks to the size of the face or the brain. Just extend that out. It's the whole body here. We can feel the attention all the way down to the soles of the feet, all the way to the back of the body, the sides of the body, front of the body. If you need longer to make that exploration, a moment, you can take your time just getting a feeling for that whole space. And then imagine stretching out that attention a little bit around the body. So we're keeping that attention stretched out. And that could be the practice in itself, or it could be the feeling of the breath moving through this, like a breeze or a current within this pool of energetic awareness. I'm feeling free to play, to guide it. Into the toes, up the back of the body. Either side of the spine. So this stretched out awareness will shrink. We can, if we need more energy, effort into the space, we can just stretch that out. Emphasize more the in-breath, the energization of that. For others, if there's more a feeling of too much energy for the space, it can be more helpful. We just notice how wide the listening consciousness can go. Hearing the most quiet, distant sounds, including the space behind. When we notice space, consciousness naturally expands, awareness naturally expands to be larger. Feeling how the energy feels within this larger space, the calming. And within this spacious awareness, a sense of whatever arises must have arisen to be met with kindness and care. Meeting it with kindness and care. This vast awareness. These momentary impressions in awareness of sensation, vibration. If we're playing with the expanding the awareness or stretching the awareness, remembering to also allow the breath to be soft, to continue. Allowing it to encourage a softness through the whole of the body, whole of the being. if the experience right now feels wholesome, feels skillful, or feels near to that, we can just incline into it more. What would it be like to really get into that experience, get close, inhabit? Like easing ourselves into it, like into a refreshing pool of water. Being submerged into this experience. And really letting it touch us. Letting it hold us, support us. Maybe even letting ourselves dissolve into that. And carrying on with that if that's available. And if it's not, maybe what is happening? Maybe there's thinking happening, thoughts occurring. Not my thoughts, but there's thoughts here. Conditioned by all kinds of things, our biological evolution, our culture, our habits of family, shapes this thinking. There's thinking occurring. Ah, the thought occurred. And slowing down, honesty, recognition. It can be enough just to stop the cycle. So we can notice, is this a thinking that leads to freedom, to compassion, to my deepest values? Or is it a thinking that leads away? And if it leads away, where does it go if we stop thinking? It just disappears completely. Or if we replace it with thoughts of generosity, thoughts of beauty, of kindness, compassion, appreciation. Move back to that still point. On the spectrum of reactivity and release. And if experience feels boring, what happens if we bring interest to that calm? Moment by moment, just moving, like moving the dial of experience towards freedom. cultivating vibrant tranquility. And releasing the push, the pull, and not withdrawing from life. There in the middle. So I just want to speak a little bit about bringing this into more of our day and practice, and a little bit about bringing it into the movement practice as well. Understand the kitchen staff are going to head off and do part of their service for us. And we can have a sense of appreciation for those of them who are doing that today. So just to remind, like most of the time, our practice should be guided towards harmonization, gathering, well-being, calming, opening, collecting, all of that. But it will be helpful at times to just kind of drop in that question of like, where am I with the drags, the doubt, the restlessness, the aversion, the greediness, and the low energy sluggishness there? Or, you know, if you like that quadrant matrix thing, like where are we on this type of experience? Or just what hindrance is present here, right now? Really with a sense of, okay, that's how it is. And also a sense, oh, there's probably something I could do about this. There's probably some way that I'm acting, that I'm contributing, that I'm holding my attention, that I'm bringing that attention with a certain attitude that I could change. And like, just run the experiment. See what happens when you make those changes. I hope you enjoy it. So with the walking movement practice, you might find that it's either thought to be better than sitting practice, or, as might be more common, is thought to be less good than sitting practice. Like sitting practice, that's what meditation is. And then there's this other thing that we do that you have to put the word movement, meditation, or whatever. You need to add meditation to it because actually it's not as good. So it's just interesting to see if we have that hierarchy going on. You know, it's just helpful, I find, just to notice those ideas. Of course, they're both really important. Otherwise, we wouldn't have put them both on the schedule. if you have an inclination to think that movement practice maybe isn't as good, it is the place where most of the insights come from. You know, just so you know, they're hanging around, and then you tend to hit them as you move around with mindful presence. So insights, they're kind of special kinds of thoughts, but they also just occur. Yeah, they will occur if you make yourself available to them. And for some reason, we won't go into it now, they tend to attack people when they're doing their movement practice and embed themselves into their minds. So you may realize that's true for you, in which case that's a good reason to do it. Another good reason to do the practice is that sometimes we feel like we don't want to do something. And we don't want to end up being those kind of people who only do what they want to do. Yeah, there's enough selfish people in the world. You don't need to, you know, increase the number. But what's good about doing the movement practice is that it will probably support someone else to do the movement practice. And then they might get hit by an insight. And that would be thanks to you. And that would be great. Yeah. So that's a really good reason also to do the practice. Another reason to do the practice is actually we can be quite tight. So it's good to do some movement and move in ways that aren't too tight. Yeah. So typically, if you say to someone, you know, do some walking up and down, but really pay attention, then they go and they start to walk like a robot, like they've never walked before. Yeah. It's like, oh, you're still version one, you know. We've now got AI and stuff. We can make you walk like a real human. Yeah, so walk from the hips, enjoy it. I like to think movement more than walking. Sometimes I like to think dancing more than walking. Yeah, it's like a real sense of like enjoy that the body can move from side to side. Yeah, that whole idea of walking is, you know, not quite falling over, catching yourself with that footstep and that whole movement, the freedom, the fluidity. So move in ways that feel enjoyable for you. Move in ways that feel interesting. Make it interesting. Make it curious. There's something to discover in the movement practice. Within that movement, there is a still point in terms of what we're talking about. Yeah, it's a way of coming down from restlessness, coming up from dullness, a way of coming back from pushing, yeah, pulling. There in the middleness, movement is happening. Yeah, so it can be a really helpful way of resolving those tendencies to be away from the harmonized, vibrant tranquility, release of demands. Okay, so I hope that's helpful, and yeah, enjoy the practice today. And maybe we'll see you in some one-to-one meetings if you feel so moved. Thank you.